Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In today's gospel, we hear the great miracle of the multiplication of loaves. Now, if you look at this miracle of Jesus, this is the only miracle that we can find in all four of the gospels. Now, that's really unique. You know, for many of Jesus' miracles, you can find them in two or maybe three of the Gospels. But this miracle of the multiplication of the loaves is the only one where you can find it in all four of the Gospels. So that tells us right away, there's something incredibly profound in this story that compelled all four Gospel writers to include it in their Gospel. So what is it? What did they see in this powerful miracle? Well, I think what they saw in this miracle is the precursor to our Mass. If you study this miracle in detail, it is so similar to what we do every time we come together for Mass. Now, notice how it begins. It says, the people, they heard that Jesus was in the territory and they began to follow him. Well, what is Jesus doing? He's gathering people, right? That was at the very heart of his ministry. Now, we have to remember that the Israelites, you know, for centuries on end, longed and hoped and prayed for the Messiah. And they knew once the Messiah came, one of the first tasks of the Messiah was to gather all the lost tribes of Israel. Well, essentially, that is at the heart of Jesus' ministry. First, Jesus gathered his apostles. And then he continued to gather people in many different ways. Open table fellowship. We would hear Jesus always going to somebody's house at night for dinner. And then he would welcome people, saints and sinners, Jews and Gentiles. Well, it didn't stop there. Jesus, when he was preaching and teaching, he was gathering people. You know, in all of Jesus' miracles, you know, he was constantly gathering people. So that was at the heart of his mission. Now, look at us. Every time we come to Mass, the same thing happens. When we come to Mass, it's Jesus. Once again, he's gathering. He's gathering us. You know, and when we come to Mass, we come with people from all different walks of life, saints and sinners, right? And so every time we come for Mass, we too, you know, recognize that like these people in this miracle gospel, we also are gathered by Jesus. Now, it says that Jesus, he cured the sick and he preached to people. Well, the people, you know, heard the word of God spoken to them by God himself, Jesus Christ. Well, stop and think. At the very beginning of our Mass is what we call the liturgy of the word. Well, we hear scripture readings from the Old Testament, the New Testament, as well as the Gospel. St. Irenaeus once said, what is hidden in the old is revealed in the new. And so what is hidden in the Old Testament? Jesus Christ. And what is revealed in the New Testament? Jesus Christ. And so we too, just like these people in the Gospel story, we sit and we listen to, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, speak to us. We listen to the Word of God. In doing so, we come to know our faith and to know who God is, just like the people in the story. Now, notice, too, where these people are. It's described as a deserted place. Well, the Greek word that is used here is eremos. Well, where else do we see that Greek word eremos used? Well, in the Old Testament, to describe the Israelites wandering in the desert or the wilderness for 40 years? Now, stay with that image of the Israelites. It's Exodus, right? Exodus 16, what does God do for the Israelites as they're wandering in the eremos? Well, he feeds them. feeds them with manna in the morning and quail at night. Well, essentially, Jesus now, in this eremos with these people, he's going to feed them too, just like God did with the Israelites. Well, fast forward to our Mass. We know we are guaranteed 100%. We know that when we come to Mass, we will encounter the risen Lord, but also we will be fed by God, just like these people in the gospel. Now, the apostles approach Jesus, and they say, you know, dismiss the crowd so they can buy food for themselves. Well, dismiss. Division, you know, that essentially is the act of sin. Essentially, the movement of sin is always to divide and scatter. You know, we have many different titles for the devil. Diabolos is one. It comes from the Latin root word diabolein, which means to scatter. That's what he does. Well, it's just the opposite of Jesus, who is constantly gathering us, right? Now, the apostles, they tell Jesus they only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. You know, puny little food for over 5,000 people, right? Well, the same thing holds true with us. You know, at Mass, our offertory is a few hosts and a little bit of wine and water. Puny little gifts, right? In order to, you know, feed us all. Now, next in the story, I think, is the linchpin for the entire story. It's the pinnacle or the apex of the story. Jesus tells the apostles, bring them to me. Bring them to me. Now, therein lies the great loop of grace. Essentially, the apostles are bringing Jesus in these paltry, puny little gifts, and they give it to God. Now, we see that loop of grace throughout the Bible with our biblical heroes. They too, they take the very little that they have and they offer it back to God as a gift in right praise and right worship. God is in need of nothing from us to add to his greatness. So what God does, he takes what we give him, blesses it, elevates it, and he gives it back to us in the form of a stronger faith. You know, it all began with Adam and Eve. There's that great scene. God finishes, you know, creation, creating. He turns to Adam and Eve, and he gives them dominion over the entire garden. The first response from Adam and Eve, offer the garden back to God as a gift in right praise and right worship. God takes that gift, he blesses it, elevates it, and he gives it back to Adam and Eve. And in doing so, their friendship with God becomes even more stronger. That's why it says in Genesis, Adam and Eve walked in easy fellowship with God in the cool evening of the garden. See, that's the loop of grace. And that's what we see in this miracle. It starts with the apostles giving these little gifts, a few loaves, a few fish, to God. Now notice what Jesus does. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave it to the disciples, who in turn gave it to the crowds. There is the loop of grace, right there. Jesus takes the little gifts that he is given by the apostles, blesses, elevates them, and there becomes the miracle, producing enough food to feed thousands of people. That's the loop of grace. The same thing holds true with us. That's why the offertory is the linchpin of our Mass. The offertory is the apex and the pinnacle of our Mass, because what do? We offer God these puny little gifts, a few hosts, a little bit of wine. We offer that back to God as a gift in right praise and right worship. God is in need of nothing from us to add to his greatness. So what does he do? He takes those gifts, he elevates them, he blesses them, and then he gives them back to us at the time of the consecration. But it's no longer bread and wine. Instead, it's Jesus' body and blood. There's the loop of grace. You know, and we see that and enter into that loop of grace every time we come to Mass. And it is at the offertory. And we recognize just that. And this is where God wants us to be, standing always in that loop of grace, so that we can receive all the blessings and all the grace that comes from the Eucharist. Now notice that little detail. Jesus, he performs the miracle, and then it says, he gave the food to the disciples, who in turn gave it to the crowds. Now, Jesus, he does produce, you know, the miracle, the multiplication. The apostles distribute the food, though. Remember, the apostles are the church. The apostles are feeding the people. Well, again, the same thing holds true with us. You know, at the time of the consecration, Jesus performs that great miracle, transforms the bread and the wine into his body and blood. But it's the priest, the deacon, and the Eucharistic ministers that come down from the altar and they feed the people at Mass. So yes, Jesus is present, but it is the church that feeds us. See, that's another reason why we must always remain in the church, because, you know, Jesus is always present at Mass to perform the consecration, but it is the church in which we are fed. Now, one last thing. It said they all ate and were satisfied. Now, Jesus just didn't give them a little bit of food so that could tie them over so they can go out and get food for themselves. No. Instead, Jesus, he gives them all the food that they can fill. Basically, their bellies are full. They can't eat anymore. And still, there's more than enough leftovers to fill 12 wicker baskets. And so, Jesus' multiplication, the feeding of the people, was always over the top, super abundant, more food that they could take into their bodies. Well, the same thing holds true with us. You know, when we're finished with communion, we collect all the leftover hosts, right, the body of Christ, and then we place it in the tabernacle. But more to it, this is indicative of God's grace. You know, when Jesus essentially gives us the Eucharist, his body and his blood, he gives us also all the blessings and all the graces that come with the Eucharist. And those blessings and graces are always super abundant, always over the top, more than we could even imagine. And see, that's the power of what Jesus does for us every time we come for Mass. See, now we see clearly, you know, what the four gospel writers saw. Now we see just how profound this miracle is. And now we understand, you know, why all four gospel writers were naturally compelled to include this story in their gospels. Because they saw that in this miracle is the precursor to our Mass. You know, in so many ways, every time we come to Mass, we, in many different ways, live out this story of the multiplication of the loaves. Friends, strongly encourage you, take some time this week. You can't afford not to. You know, reread the story of the multiplication of the loaves. It really is the story of our Mass. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.